And we are live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Wesley and Willie, Season 2, Episode 2. Willie, welcome to the studio.
Hello, 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 everybody.
We will be discussing a few topics today. Some of them kind of are running late, but we still feel the need to discuss. Before that, Willie, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good.
Good. I'm suffering from the new lockdown, but we'll be talking about this later.
Yeah. Your vaccination has been has initiated in...
Yeah, it's underway in England. Yes, you're right. However, it's only given now to medical staff, etc.
Elderly.
And elderly, yeah. Uh-huh. The most vulnerable. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Before we talk about the subject of vaccine, we wanted to talk about some of the main events that took place last month, one of which is an unprecedented event of the assassination of the Iranian Fakhrizad, scientist.
Yeah. Mohsen Fakhrizad.
Mohsen Fakhrizada. Do you want to elaborate a little bit more on this?
Yeah, I have written an article, as you knew, a few weeks ago about it. Yeah, as you said, it's old news now, but we are the whole world is still living the repercussions of it. Many things or believe that the assassination was carried out by Israel, which never denied, by the way, that it carried it. And the reason of the assassination was basically to undermine the possibility of any deal between Joe Biden and the Iranian government. Because what it does, it weakens the moderate factions in Iran, those who are with the rapprochement with the U.S. government. And I think they're succeeding in doing that because now the hardliners are on the rise. And only last February they won about 220 out of 290 in the parliament. And the election, the presidential election, is in June 2021. So there is a risk, inter parentheses, that the hardliners will come back, and because Rouhani is not going to be reelected because he does not have the he was elected twice, so he doesn't have he cannot
eligible.
Yes, he's not eligible. So basically, there is a chance that the hardliners or the conservatives will come back to power, and this will undermine any moderate deal or to go back to the joint comprehensive. And also some believe that this assassination did exploit the rifts between the hardliners and the reformists in Iran in terms of how to deal with the with the U.S. government. And of course, before that, there was mysterious explosions and fires everywhere in Iran. And now many we heard many voices denunciating this assassination. A UN representative called it a vivid breach of the international law. John Brennan, the CIA director, he said if it was carried, and that was really, really, really like something to note. He mm-hmm. said that if this assassination, and he's the former CIA director, mm-hmm. if it was carried out by a state, a government, mm-hmm. a country, so this is a terror state action. This is what he highlighted.
Wow.
Now, the thing is, Iran...
It seems these CIA directors, they only become humans after they leave their post.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Look at Jimmy Carter also, mm-hmm. the former U.S. president. So, yes, I was saying that Iran, many in the Iranian government called for the retaliation, and Iran is still to revenge for this act. And up till now, it never happened.
Probably won't.
Basically, yes, you're right.
Mohsen Fakhrizadeh Mahabadi was a brigadier general in the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps and an academic physicist and a senior official in the nuclear program of Iran. He was born in 1958, and after the Iranian Revolution of 1979, he attended Shahid Beheshti University and later received PhD from University of Isfahan. And beginning in 1991, he was a physics professor at Imam Hussein University. He led the Organization of Defensive Innovation and Research and the Green Salt Project. And due to his affiliation with the Iranian nuclear program, both the United Nations Security Council and the United States ordered his assets frozen in the mid-2000s. In the early 2010s, he established and led the Organization of Defensive Innovation and Research, which conducted research on nuclear weapons. In 2018, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that Fakhrizadeh was the head of the AMAD project, Amad project. In 2020, he helped develop COVID-19 testing kits for use during the pandemic. Bottom line is, he is an academic, and he's not a military person.
Yes, he's a civil citizen, correct.
He's a civil citizen.
Yes.
And this is unwarranted. He's not even listed as a terrorist. He's unprecedented in terms of, I mean, there has been a history of assassination of scientists, especially nuclear scientists in the Arab world and beyond, and especially in Iran.
And in Egypt. Yes. Mm. It is, they say it is part of the, like that and all the sanctions, it's part of the scorched earth plan that Netanyahu and Trump are doing to bring Iran to its knees, to bring it to, because the thing is, the Iranian, they only want to discuss the nuclear deal. Now, what they want to do, they want Iran to negotiate the ballistic missile program and its support for militias in the region. So this plan by Netanyahu and Trump to bring Iran to its knees to accept to negotiate these other subjects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that those sanctions, which Trump called unprior in the history of mankind, no country was ever exposed to these like dire sanctions. And still Iran is fine and is willing to go on and on. So they seem like the harder the sanction, the better they can go on with their life.
It was a road ambush taking place on November 27, 2020. Although initially reported to be conducted by gunmen and a bomb, Iran says that the attack utilized an autonomous satellite-operated gun. Israel is widely suspected of organizing the attack, and the attack raised tensions in the region. And in response to his death, the Iranian legislature passed a bill to block inspections of its nuclear program, which is taken back the nuclear agreement one step backwards. Do you have more to say? I know you've done your research.
Want to mention, I remember something about it. Yeah, they said it's like a highly AI operation.
Artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Even the news is that his wife was sitting just next to him, but the gun was able only to hit him and not his wife. So yeah, it's as I said, it is very, very, very sophisticated operation. And it's those kind of operations are only done by states such as Israel or the U.S. or the USSR in the like Russia now.
Yeah, I mean, they're capable. Advanced countries are capable of doing that. But historically speaking, this is something that has the signature of the Israeli assassinations on it. They didn't deny it. Actually, a lot of Israeli officials have boasted about it.
Yes, and they said the world should be thankful. Us.
Right. Who said that is one of the
high
commands in Israel. And then we cannot, of course, at the end of the day, you cannot say anything about Israel because, it is the spoiled child of the United States.
Yes. It is this ability of Israel to act with relative impunity and to evade any criticism from America or from Europe is amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the rule of law continues to be absent when it comes to the dealing of the Zionist states. From its beginning, it has been established despite international law and despite international sensitivities. And continues to be. We move on, Willie, to the subject of vaccine. You are in a country that is pretty much advanced in the deployment of its vaccine. What is the feelings in the streets of London?
Since midnight yesterday, we went southeast England and London. We went into what they call Tier 4. And what that means, it means total lockdown. You can still go out to buy food or to take a daily exercise, like walking or running. You can meet one person only outside. You cannot mingle. You can go to other houses. This is even though Boris Johnson has promised 2 weeks ago that he would relax the rules between 23rd and 27th of December so people can celebrate Christmas. Yesterday, because of the new strain or new mutation or new variant, they like to call it, they are too scared now, and all of a sudden, they impose the stricter rules, and this will go on from now to the 30th, when they will do another revision. But Christmas, as Johnson said, will be totally different this year. They made one exception on the 25th, where you can go out and meet out with people with no restrictions, only on the 25th.
Won't be much different for you.
Exactly. Now, and that's all because of the new variant or the new mutation, which lots of people don't know a lot about now. The Netherlands restricted all travel from the UK to, because they found this new strain in Netherlands also.
What is the symptoms of that new strain? How is it?
They said they don't know a lot yet, but they said it's 70% more. More transmissible, 70% than the first one. And the funny thing, they don't know if the vaccine will work, but they assume it will. So they don't know anything yet. And this is scary. This is really, really scary.
Uh-huh.
This new lockdown, the last lockdown, there was a rise on death rate related to other sicknesses, not to COVID-19. And that was something to note also. Like a rise on all kinds of sicknesses, like heart diseases, cancer, everything.
Wow.
So this is probably due to the lockdown, because what the lockdown does, it breaks people's routine. And I don't know how it is in the U.S. because it in the U.S. every state will have its own rule, correct?
True, they have left it to the governors to make much of the rules and executive orders in that sense, and it's really different from one state to another. I was actually shocked how different it is from one state to another in my last visit to Florida, because over there it seemed like COVID has passed as a glimpse of memory. People were out and about. Restaurants were full. I don't understand. There were some restaurants where
the governor is Republican in Florida, correct?
Yeah, and he's one of the people that is anti-lockdown, strongly anti-lockdown. I can't say that because he's instituted lockdown himself, but he's anti-re-lockdown, let's say. And he fights with counties in that regard. So it gets confusing in Florida because county makes rules and the governor makes rules. And then there are also places that choose what rules to break and what fines they want to pay, you know. So it's... it gets a little bit confusing, but the attitude of people is much different in Florida from Michigan. You know, on average, let's say, of course, is much, much different attitude. And that was shocking to me. Like, there's a different culture here than there. I was one of the most like strict people or worried people there, while in Michigan, I'm considered one of the more relaxed people about it. So, it was a difference in culture too, which is interesting. But anyway, I don't know. Things are moving. We're still in various, you know, the lockdowns, like this is various points that you have to follow here and there.
Can I ask you something? Now the vaccination in the U.S. is underway, correct?
Yes.
I think it's Pfizer, BioNTech. The company, and I think YouGov conducted a poll, and it found that 28% of the Americans won't take the vaccine, because of the conspiracy theory that they will implant a microchip, and. And also that the government will use your body as an experiment. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think of that? I mean, the number is high, 28%, almost
a third. I think it's even higher. I don't know. You've seen one of the optimistic surveys. I've seen as high as 40%. They're not comfortable taking the vaccine. Right. And in order for this to create some sort of herd immunity, you need to achieve over 75%. I don't know. I feel like the more people take it, the more people will be comfortable to take it.
So are you going to take it? Are you like?
I am going to take it. Yes, I have a lot of doctor friends who already took it. I mean, I'm going to take it when I'm suggested to be taken it by my doctor and my, you know, by CDC. I'm one of two Americans who trust the CDC. Me and right. The director of the CDC. I actually do trust the government institutions, the FDA, the CDC. I know that sometimes things are politicized. There's some pressure applied on some decisions, on some research. But at the end of the day, Aray Sheikh Sanjari, Al-Majmu' Al-Mukawwar, the overall average is that they're worthy, of course, of trust, and there are people who are working hard to ensure that we're safe, and they're hiring the best of scientists and, you know, professionals to help us make these decisions. So I go by the recommendations of the professionals. The whole society is based on trust. If you are going to start distrusting things, I mean, there's no end to it. I mean, the water that we're drinking is regulated by the government. They don't need to wait for a vaccine to insert something in your body. They insert things in your body all day long.
All right. And if it is, as they said, if it is, because some people say the whole Corona is manipulated by Zionism, blah, blah, blah. And today, Netanyahu was the first person in Israel to take that vaccine. And they took out many accounts on Twitter and Facebook that talk about the vaccine, with the conspiracy theory against the vaccine. So Israel is one of the leading countries in promoting the vaccine.
Yeah, and the presidency, like Obama, is going to take it publicly, and there is, you know, a lot of work to combat the conspiracy. I mean, nevertheless, the scientific community has not acted in coherence, which increased the anti-science sentiment among people who have it already. And
because of the lack of time, we don't have time. They approved everything urgently.
Not only that, also, you know, there are people who have been outspoken, and they are scientists or doctors or MDs. They themselves, they were trying, you know, a small portion of them, but they spread conspiracy theory. They spoke against some of the established trends and actions, which increased the people's distrust of the organizations. You know, you have to re-examine the credentials of these people, and it's something average person does not do. A doctor is a doctor. So when you have all these contradicting testimonies and statements, I mean, social media has done a good job in trying to combat that. But at the end of the day, we can't blame people for having some sort of confusion in a society that's already intellectualized for centuries, and in a society that's already been anti-scientific for centuries. I remember attending a talk by Neil deGrasse Tyson, which was dedicated to fighting anti-science concepts. For example, people in America are superstitious about the number 13. So, right? 13 is 13, right?
It is 13.
Yeah.
Let me say something about that. I went to many buildings in Montreal. Many, like I can say probably like over 100 buildings, in which when you go in the elevator, you will see with buildings over 13 stories, you will see 9, 10, 11, 12A, 12B, 14. There is no 13. Wow. Yeah. This house superstitious.
So he spoke about that. But this is common. This is not only in Montreal. It's common in the United States because nobody wants to buy an apartment in the floor number 13. Yeah, if a friend invites you and he's living in the 13th floor for the first time, that's a friend you don't want to go to. You know, that's,
especially on
that's
Friday.
Invites you for a Friday night. February 13 on the 13th floor. That's a no. That's an easy no. So this kind of superstition, you know, that the commercialism, they accommodate, you know, they change building numbers and so forth. He stated like 50 or 60 of these misconcepts that people play to and media play along instead of fighting this anti-science, So society, it's full of that. So we don't, you know, this is what we've been raising. So we shouldn't expect differently. There is a discrepancy between science and the public, and there is like a department in the University of Oxford called the Public Perception of Science, the Department of Public Perception of Science. So this concept of you know, you have, there is actually one time I've read a very stunning statistic that there's like about 20% or 25% of Americans are not sure about the moon going around Earth or something like that. Something that's totally ridiculous to think about. Or
there is a society called Flat Earth Society in America.
Flat Earthers is a continuing movement that actually keeps on increasing and growing, you know, in this age. While NASA is broadcasting live from the satellites 24 hours, you know.
I mean, hundreds of satellites rotating Earth.
It takes thousands of Hollywoods to produce all these images. So it's actually cheaper to go to the moon than producing all these videos. It's cheaper to take all the flat earthers there. Anyway, so we are coming to the last 5 minutes of our show, Willie.
Yeah.
And the feeling here is, again, so I think more people will take it, and then people who are on the fence, they'll probably move. But at the end of the day, Willie, this is, it's like a sad story that we're trying not to tell. That our species is going to any species that overgrows in an unnatural trend. So our species has kind of defeated its nature of existence in the last 10,000 years, 11,000 years after the agricultural revolution, and it has overpopulated. And there is this overpopulation usually causes some sort of reaction to nature, where things evolve fast. A lot of the diseases came actually from overpopulation of cattle, domesticated cattle that we've done. A lot of the diseases came from cattle and animals to humans. So we expect, through the just a simple understanding of evolution, that these viruses that have a very short lifetime, that they're going to keep evolving. Some of them will evolve to ineffective viruses, and some of them will evolve to a more effective viruses, and hence they will be naturally selected to grow. And right. We will be facing more trends like this. This is the normal.
Let me just say that I don't agree with the overpopulation term that you used. I think if we didn't exploit the natural resources in an unplanned manner, Earth resources are sufficient for everybody, and even if you double the population. So I don't think we're overpopulated. It's just that the cities are overpopulated. And if you spread the 7 billion people on Earth, everybody will have his own villa, like you, and his own acre. And so it's only cities are overpopulated. And I know, like in Beirut, half of Lebanese live in Beirut. Half of Lebanese population live in Beirut, almost half.
Actually,
Beirut and the suburbs.
Let me give you this statistic. If you just gather all of humans on Earth together, like just standing next to each other, they actually fit in the state of Texas, the whole humanity. And there
if
is
they stand enough, next to each other.
Yes, and there is enough coast in the state of Michigan for everyone who's living in Michigan to have a house on the coast, on the lake. I understand what you're saying. I don't mean overpopulation from a civil stand. I mean overpopulation from a biological stance, meaning that we used to be for 250, 300,000 years living in a territory that is wide enough. We have to, basically you are supposed to live as much as your sight can see. That's the natural area of a human life, a Homo sapiens, and you go hunting. There's enough resources in such an area for you to hunt and food and preserve yourself, and you have to run to get it, and that's why you never get obesity and what do you call sukkar? Should we say more?
Diabetes.
This is what I mean. Overpopulation, I mean, it's not natural for our type of species or any mammal in general to have this large, to have like 100 lions living in a box. That's not natural. We're not overpopulated in terms of the resources of Earth, especially with the new technology and the vertical cities. We're cool, we're good, and they're manufacturing meat now, and we can survive, sure. if we care about it. The problem is we're still tribes, we still care about make America great, America first.
Is there gonna be halal artificial meat?
Just say Bismillah, brother. Yeah, so that's what I mean. Yeah, I don't mean overpopulation. We're not overpopulated. There's no concern about overpopulation. Actually, we are kind of, we are going to plateau in about 12 billion because the average household is getting less than three kids. And, you know, we actually are going to plateau. There might be a concern of depopulation, actually, just naturally, without any external causes, just because family size is getting smaller with the modern life.
By the way, Israel was the country which manufactured, quote unquote, that meat.
Yeah.
It was Israel. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's already here. It's sold in many places. I've eaten it once or twice, and it's not a big difference when you add all the salt and you know, all the other condiments. Can't really tell much difference. But if you eat it by itself, yeah, it's, you know, you can tell a little difference. But this is the beginning of it. They call it the Impossible Burger here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sold, like, it's sold in White Castle, I think. Like in a commercial places. I'm not sure. You know, I don't eat much from these places. Okay. So we are at the end of our time, Willie. And thank you, Abdul. He said it's a great conversation. We're happy to hear that because we don't get much comments. So you win the best comment of 2020 so far. Willie, next episode probably will be the last episode of 2020. And we want to do reflections of that year. A very interesting year. And before we end, do you want to say anything before we end? I want to end with a video that is done and prepared by Ciro. It's an amazing video, Willie. It is a 3-minute video, but I'm sure it took hundreds of hours of editing to the extent that made me go and research who made this video. And I first thought it will be like a firm that's trying to advertise itself. But I came to a conclusion that it's just one person. And he's like a video editor, music producer. He lives in Switzerland in a small apartment.
That tells it all.
Yes, exactly. When you give someone the life of the Swiss life, you know, the comfort, the free education, it's the closest country to UBI, universal basic income.
He has to be creative.
And, you know, and the creativity and also the intellectuality, because the education is really awesome. It's a city that is, it's a multi-language, just a diverse city.
You know, a couple of years ago, the government wanted to give maybe 5,000 or 6,000 euros to every families, and the Swiss population voted against it. Yeah. They don't want free money.
Switzerland is a different part of the world. You know,
yeah.
And its neutrality maybe is part of that. It's like, you know what, guys, you just go ahead and fight. We're going to sit here. We have nothing to do with you. They're really a mature state. And we can talk about this in an episode more deeply. But it's a beautiful, beautiful video. Very well done. Very well produced. We salute Ciro for his video. Any final words?
Well, now that the planned relaxation is scrapped, so with lockdown, I'm gonna be spending more online time, and so yes, we'll see that video. And thank you, Abdul, for tuning in. I don't know if Abdul was the only one tuning in, but thanks.
Yeah, there is one more person. He's also watching. Yeah, yeah, I don't know who it is,
thank you both of you
for watching. And we usually, you know, thank our, there's only one now. We usually thank the people who watch this program.
Thanks, Abdul, and thanks, FBI.
One is Abdul, one is FBI. Actually, three joined right now, so.
Okay. Please do watch this episode, because I think it's worth watching, I think. So, yes, thank you very much. And thank you, Wissam, for planning this. And
thank you, Willie. And we'll see you in the next episode. We're going to be talking reflections about the 2020 year. And this is the video, and we'll see you soon again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Who seeks not to divide, but unify.